Superintendent Height, thank you so much for joining us.
It's my pleasure.
So you, of course, think that Governor Wolf's and Mayor Nutter's proposed tax increases would translate into great value for the city's kids. There is probably many taxpayers in the city and our surrounding counties that are more skeptical. What do you say to someone who doubts that a funding increase would make a difference in Philadelphia classrooms?
Well, I will say this, that our citizens are passionate here in Philadelphia about having a high-quality option for all children, regardless of where those children attend schools. And quite frankly, we have not been able to provide that over the past several years simply because of revenue. The things that we've had to cut, the things that we've had to eliminate, the programs, the resources, the individuals, all of those things have factored into us having less of an ability to deliver a high-quality education for children.
But essentially, to get that opportunity for kids, I mean, you have to come out and sell this to taxpayers, and you have to say this is worthwhile, right?
There's no question about it. And I'm a taxpayer here in Philadelphia now as well. And as a taxpayer, I think that there is no other investment that is equally important or more important than this issue. Because if we're serious about providing a high quality education to our children, then we have to think about how will we pay for that.
Can you give us a more specific example of how this new revenue would go into classrooms and specifically how it would help kids and why the public should believe that you and your team are the proper stewards of that money?
Yeah, I mean, I think, number one, you have to look at what we've done. And what we've had to do, unfortunately, for the last 3 years was really around stabilizing the district. We made a commitment to not spend any more than what we have. And that meant we had to make some very hard choices in the district, closing facilities, eliminating 5,000 positions, reducing admin spending. We even have two concessionary labor contracts. And all of those things were because we were taking a responsible approach to how we spend taxpayer dollars. Our five-year financial plan talks about how these monies, any new monies and any new investments, will then go back into schools and into classrooms. These are not resources that that will allow us to regrow a central administration.
So can you say specifically, though, that there will be X many more nurses or X many more counselors or smaller class sizes?
Yeah, so we can say some examples. We're going to come out with more specificity around this in the next week or so. But this could be things like eliminating split classes. For an example,
second graders with third graders,
or third graders with fourth graders. And it may not eliminate all of them, but at least those that are not intentional. So it could be the elimination of that. It could be having a counselor in every school. It also could
five
be
days a week.
5 days a week. It could be having a health service or a nurse service in schools every day. More training and development around how we teach better as a institution. It is instructional materials, which many of our people say we have to do without. It's cleaning the buildings more regularly. And we've talked about attendance really being a focus, and we understand that particularly many of our younger people miss schools because of complications with asthma. I mean, and that goes directly to the conditions of our buildings, and so it's focusing on those types of conditions. But I will also add this, Kevin, it's simpler things too. So it's things like if a child shows advanced placement potential, then they have an advanced placement course in their high school, regardless of where they go to high school. If a child needs French 3, then that is available in their high school. And we've also talked about workforce investment and providing money for compensation for all of our employees. And so
teacher raises, essentially, is that what I was hearing you say there?
Well, I said compensation, and it is when I talk about compensation, I'm talking about if in fact there's an ability to acquire some savings through benefits, then reinvesting those savings back into the workforce. And those could be in the form of a comp increase or something else. But I do think that those things are equally important. But we did have compensation as a part of our five-year financial plan, and I just wanted to make that point that it is, we don't know what that will be because we don't know what these numbers, the final numbers are, but we know that it's equally important to acknowledge the work of our professionals.
Okay. Obviously, to get this stuff done, it's going to take cooperation from different governmental bodies. Nutter's plan requires city council's approval. Wolf's budget, which is a very broad, ambitious plan, requires the cooperation of the Republican-held legislature there. The district itself, it seems, has been the center of like a almost a vitriolic political debate from Harrisburg, from the city in the past few years. What's that like to find yourself in the middle of these political conversations? I mean, we saw it with the recent shakeup on the SRC. We saw it with the charter school applications. What's that like, being in the middle of those politics?
Well, look, we have to stay focused, and we have to stay focused on providing access to opportunity for young people. And I think that our focus, you heard our former chair, Bill Green, say he wasn't going to pursue a particular step simply because it would be more of a distraction at a time when we should really be thinking about investments and the implementation of the action plan. And so I think that we have to fundamentally change this conversation from what sector is the best to what is quality, how do we know, and then what are the mechanisms in place that provide us some information about quality. And I think that – and then let's have a factual conversation about all of these things. If in fact, we need to address the district school, then it's there. If we need to address a low-performing charter school, then that's there. In addition to that, now we have to talk about funding and a mechanism for funding so that the distribution of these revenues are not impacting or advantaging one sector at the disadvantage of another.
Even if the state passed and adopted and implemented a student-weighted fair funding formula, there's some folks who wonder, certainly the school district of Philadelphia would get more money because it has more kids in poverty. It has a lot of special education students, a lot of English language learners. So more money would come to Philadelphia in general. People wonder, though, would that money be distributed into the right buildings? Can you talk about how the school district funnels its money to its 200-some-plus school buildings?
Yeah, we do that now based on averages. I mean, and we use the vast majority of the monies that are spent – are spent on salary and benefits. And so it's based on averages, and we then allocate individuals to buildings based on the number of children. So for every 30 children, you get one person. And that's not a programmatic approach. Mm-hmm. That's just a straight allocation approach based on numbers of children.
I guess the question I'm asking, once the money comes to you and you have the choice to disperse it, are the neediest students in Philadelphia getting more funding from the district?
Where we have the abilities to do that, we do that. And we will have plans to do that moving forward because we're also creating a student-weighted funding formula for Philadelphia.
You are.
That will then have different weights for children who are learning English, children from circumstances of poverty, children who may be two grades behind in reading, children that may be two grades ahead in reading. And so we're really thinking about how we have a mechanism to distribute those revenues so that we're addressing the significant areas where there are high concentrations of poverty.
To your point, though, earlier, the biggest cost driver for you is salary and benefits. It's the employee compensation. And I guess the way I've heard it described in the past is that sometimes you'll have, the longer tenured teachers in the district wind up in schools where, the kids are able to perform at a higher level, and that the schools where the students have more challenges, you tend to see more teacher attrition. So thus, the salary and benefits are lower at the underperforming school and higher at the, overperforming school, or whatever the terminology would be for that. Is that true?
That is true, and that's why the average salaries then are the best mechanism to do that. But also, there are work rules associated with that as well. I mean, and essentially, where the more experienced individuals have a greater ability to select where they go, and select away from where they don't want to be, and so that does impact our ability to staff schools, and we also have to have to look at how do we control for that in whatever a funding allocation formula that is that we create.
All right, I'll make this my last question. I have a 10-month-old son at home. I live in a middle-class Philadelphia neighborhood. What's your advice to me? What should I be counting on in 5 years from this system?
My advice to you is to visit your neighborhood school right now. And visit your neighborhood school, become an active participant in the Friends of group. We have those popping up everywhere. Because literally where we're seeing change in neighborhoods with schools and with the support for schools are where we have young individuals like yourself who are becoming involved in the development of high-quality programs in schools. It is why there's a bilingual program at Southwark. There's why Chester Arthur is thinking about a different school redesign. It is why other schools in Mount Airy are shoring themselves off to realtors. But I think it is really important, critically important, to get involved in the school now before your child becomes school age, so that there is information about what is being offered in that school, what should the new investments be when and if we get those additional resources, and how is that informed by the community that school must serve.
Will you still be here in 5 years?
I'll still be here, indeed.
Really?
I will still be here.
Wow.
This work is too hard to hand off to someone else, and so we didn't do all of the stabilization stuff to just pick up and leave. And so I've made a commitment to Philadelphia. I need to see this commitment through. And as long as the support for the work that we're trying to accomplish, then I plan to be here to accomplish that work.
Well, Superintendent Height, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.